resume the hearing. We're here to consider the, I won't call it late because it's accepted, the further submissions on the in relation to the Arcadia Rural Visitor Zone. Because this is a one-off, Stream 20, I think I called it. We'll have the presentation of the 42A report, Ms. Grace. Then we'll hear from the spinner. No further spinners, so we'll see how we go. So, Emily, we've all read your Section 42A report, so what would you like to add to it?
I've got a short summary statement.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you care to read it, that would be good.
The late submission. Oh, microphone. Sorry. The late submission by Mr. Vent relates to the way the provisions of Chapter 35 manage temporary filming activities within the Arcadia Rural Visitor Zone. The submission requests that the rural zone provisions for managing these activities be applied within the Arcadia RVZ, as these are less restrictive than those that would apply in the RVZ otherwise. Mr. Vivian has provided planning evidence on behalf of the submitter, and Ms. Robb has provided legal submissions. Mr. Vivian and I are generally in agreement that the rural zone provisions for managing temporary filming activities are the most appropriate for the Arcadia RVZ, given the surrounding rural zone, the space on the site that allows temporary filming activities to have a degree of separation from visitor accommodation and commercial recreation activities, and the positive benefits that accrue from filming activities. However, Mr. Vivian does not agree with the qualification I place on my conclusion about the appropriateness of the Rural Visitor Zone provisions. My recommendations are qualified in that they relate to the RVZ provisions for Arcadia as amended in my second rebuttal statement, and may not hold when considered against the relief sought in the submitter's primary submission. My main reasons for this qualification being the increased type and quantity of sensitive activities that could take place on the site, being residential, visitor accommodation and commercial recreation activities, and the reduced ability for these activities to be separated from temporary filming activities. In case the panel is of a mind to grant the relief sought in Mr. Vent's primary submission, I have considered Mr. Vivian and Ms. Robb's reasons for disagreeing with my qualification and examined the structure plan proposed for Arcadia again. I agree with Ms. Robb that the residential development that would be enabled by the Arcadia structure plan would be rural residential in nature. It would allow 23 dwellings within the area. As Ms. Robb points out, the PDP gives direction on managing the effects of temporary filming within rural residential zones, as distinct from urban zones and rural zones, by setting a limit of 100 people participating in filming, which is in between the 200 for rural and 50 for urban, and also by excluding the use of land as an informal airport. In my opinion, applying the limit of 100 persons and the exclusion for informal airports to the Arcadia RVZ, should the panel recommend granting the relief sought in Mr. Vent's primary submission, would be consistent with the way this matter is managed in similar settings. In order to apply the limit of 200 people to and allow informal airports in the Arcadia RVZ, as proposed to be amended by the submitter through the incorporation of the structure plan, I consider there would need to be confidence that the benefits of permitting that level of filming activity, such as lower compliance costs, would justify a greater level of effect than is permitted in the by the PDP in similar rural residential settings. I note that the change requested would not reduce compliance costs in at least one of the two primary resource consents identified by Mr. Vivian, as that activity involved over 200 people. There would also need to be confidence that the 200-person limit and the allowance for informal airports effectively minimised adverse effects in the rural residential setting, as required by the objectives and policies of Chapter 35. I am not convinced that the evidence for the submitter demonstrates this. I note the discretionary activity resource consent path provided by Rule 35.415 for activities not otherwise provided for would allow these effects to be considered on a case-by-case basis against the level of development within the Arcadia RVZ that has occurred at that point in time.
Question that occurs to me, Ms. Grace, thinking about your logic, is that, as Mr. Vivian has pointed out, there is an existing subdivision consent and permission for building platforms on Area 1 up behind the Arcadia Homestead for residential purposes. Is there a halfway house that we would need to take account of that consent in this context, given your logic that whether or not we recommend acceptance of the relief sought in the submission, it is somewhere between a possibility and a probability that there will be residential homes, at least on the already consented blocks. So does that suggest a need for further constraint, or is the answer to that that there's more than enough room across the balance of the structure plan area or the zoned area for any temporary planning fulfillment? So that's a bit round the houses as I've thought about that out loud, but hopefully you get where I'm coming from.
Yes, I think so. I do think there is enough room outside the consented subdivision which accords with the low sensitivity landscape area for filming activities not to kind of conflict or overlap with that residential development. It does depend which zoning situation you're considering, because the rural visitor zone provisions, as notified, residential on the subdivision would be a non-compliant activity. So it still depends if you're considering the structure plan relief or the zoning relief.
But I think the important thing is that there's enough space.
Yep.
Kat, can you pull up the Arcadia site so we can just see how much land is currently zoned? What's that?
If you just zoom round to
north of Glenorchy.
No, I can do it quickly.
Left and up.
Left and up, but it's Skippers.
Yes, don't think so.
Keep going. One more.
Yep.
And up.
Wait for it.
Here it is.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Can you blow that up a little so it's a little bit? Or more centered?
Is it a delay?
Yes, sir. That's it.
Gotcha. Technical wizard.
Well done. purely practical matter, presumably you're not going to have a, when we talk about informal airports, we're talking choppers. I think that's a safe assumption.
Mm.
Looks to be a flat area outside the RV zone. You could put a chopper down in the rural zone. So is the discussion about informal airports pretty academic? I'm going to ask, I will ask the debate team what their view is, but ask.
To an extent, I guess, on the lake side of the property, you couldn't have an informal airport close by, but it is true that you can across the road.
I was looking at this bit.
Oh, that bit, sorry.
That is in a separate ownership.
Oh, that's a bit. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, forget that idea. Good theory. But you could go across the road. Commissioner Hill, do you have any questions of Ms. Gross?
Just for my benefit, so there's no definition in the plan about sensitive activities, is that right? Is it? Oh, I just looked, I couldn't see one. I didn't.
There's noise sensitive.
I'd have to double check actually.
Well, no worry about that. It's just I was really just whether you were responding to Ms. Robb's legal submissions, which says that commercial recreation and visitor activity are not particularly sensitive. Residential might be, but because of the way the ownership structure will be, so that people will be aware of it, and therefore her legal position is that we don't need to worry too much about that. I'm interpreting correctly.
my opinion is that commercial recreation activities like fishing, for instance, in the lake, would enjoy or prefer a quiet environment.
And I suppose, right, because the definition is fair of commercial recreation is fairly wide. I mean, it can arrange for a whole lot of things, right down to people who are off actively doing things, camping, hunting.
Yeah, it is a wide definition,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. No, thank you. That's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Nothing from me, sir.
Mr. Dawson.
So just so that I can get my head around what you've recommended today, not
yes.
recommended, but suggested, if we were of a mind to recommend the wider level of development on the site, in the zone, as sought by the submission,
mm-hmm.
With more opportunity for residential, would this, the wording you've suggested in your notes today just sort of replace what is attached to your 42A report? In other words, well, it wouldn't replace, but you'd slot in Arcadia into a 100-person slot rather than a 200-person slot, and you wouldn't add in the provision for informal airport.
Correct. I probably should have annotated the rule. I could.
No, it doesn't matter.
But yeah. Yes, the change to A of Rule 35.48 would be to add Arcadia in after the 100.
After the 100-person bit.
Yeah,
yes,
instead of the
that's
200.
Right. And take out the addition of and Arcadia.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right.
Has your recommendation or the suggestion that the rural residential zone might sort of be equivalent to what's sought, or in terms of looking for a slot for it in relation to temporary filming, that accounts also for the subdivision consent that's been granted and the development that would come from that?
Yes.
Because it falls in that part of the structure plan.
It does.
Yes, so
yep.
It's equivalent. Yes.
Yes.
So it's not an addition, it's
yep.
one and the same thing.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, that's all from me, thank you.
Well, on that note, we'll hand over to the spinner as well. Thank you for your legal submissions,
which
we've read, and so is there anything you want to add? Including in response to Ms. Grace, if you wish.
Yes,
well, you could do, or you could delegate that to Mr. Vivian, your choice.
I suppose the only point I would like to talk to is or emphasise is in respect of this suggestion that we, if the consented, if the relief sought in the primary submission was to be granted, that then we move to the 100 threshold for people, and well, effectively deal with this zone as rural residential or rural lifestyle would be dealt with under the temporary activity chapter. The submission and position we wanted to put forward is we still don't think that there's sufficient justification in council's evidence for requiring that limit of 100 people as compared to 200 in the rural residential and rural lifestyle zones in terms of effect, and when you've got a base of 100 people, we don't think that it's significant enough, the increase in effects, to warrant having that restriction, particularly given the nature of amenity that you think would be expected by owners of rural residential, rural lifestyle lots, which is the point I made in my submission, is that people who own lots in those areas, and particularly if you look at this area, which is surrounded by rural land, are not going to expect, you know, they're going to expect that there'd be less amenity, residential amenity, than in other areas. And there isn't anything in the evidence or the Section 32 analysis to really justify, I don't think, the difference of having a 100 or 200 person threshold. And likewise, the other key difference between comparing those rules, rural res, rural lifestyle zones, to rural general is this difference in the 30 days of filming activity and film shooting for rural general, which is then restricted to 30 days filming activity and only 7 days of film shooting activity in the other zones. Again, we just don't think that there's sufficient justification or any real helpful examples of how that would necessarily impact on amenity, a change, or help mitigate effects if there's a difference of 30 to 7 days. I think Mr. Vivian's evidence makes the point well that we can't lose sight of the fact that this is just a temporary activity as a permitted activity. It is only 30 days we're talking about, and that's the same for the informal use of the airports. It's 30 days, and that in itself is the key mitigating factor in ensuring that the activities are compatible and mitigating any potential adverse effects. As you've also rightly pointed out, in respect of informal airports, there is the ability to operate that activity over the road. And we did talk to our client about whether you'd just not worry about that rule and land your helicopters over the road, but he's taken the view that it's just essentially getting around the rules, and if there's no real justification for that, and in terms of need to protect amenity or effects, then why not have the ability to land within the RVZ?
This question to Mr. Vivian, that's fine, but how much space is there? Taking the structure plan residential areas, which I have in my mind, how much space is there between the Lakewood end edge of those rural residential, identified residential areas and the lake. Like I was trying to remember when we were on site, like even when you're at the homestead, the lake's still a fair distance down that rise and to the sloping into the lake. How far would it be?
I'm going to defer to Mr. Egan.
Do you know how big the zone? Do you know how big the zone is as a whole?
Yes, as a whole. If this committee secretary, she wants to click on that little ruler up there, up to the left.
Yep. Good point.
And now you can measure from the road down to the lake. I'd say about a kilometre.
Oh, pretty good.
That's impressive. Now, can you do the same thing from, the bottom of the area identified on the right to the lake? No, the down. Yeah, from there to the there upwards. No, not there. To the the bottom edge of that
point. Where?
Bottom edge of the yellow.
Yeah, the bottom edge of the yellow.
Now,
you can tell me, does that area, that's pretty much the area that the structure plan identifies for those rural...
It probably came to the south a little bit more. I think my primary literature site from the bottom of that Turkey area to the lake was about 325 metres.
Yeah, I've got the structure plan here.
Sort of 300 to 400 metres.
Yes.
The reason I raised that is we had another submitter who was telling us about the evils of helicopters in residential areas, who said you needed to be 200 to 250 metres from a house to meet the normal noise limits. Mm. Now, he wasn't an expert, but given the angle from which he was coming, that would seem to be, it's unlikely to be more than that, because he was trying to make a point. That would suggest that you could meet the noise limits, put a chopper down 50 metres from the lake, where presumably there's some hard ground, and you'd still have clear space to the edge of the house with... That, like, that's a very much back of the envelope consideration. That there seems to be quite a lot of separation. Like there's still quite a bit of space, even taking account of the areas taken up by the structure plan.
Yes,
and is that the same area where, in practice, you would do the filming down on the lakeshore?
I think when we discussed this previously, the answer to that was there may be some filming at the down by the lake, because that's the most picturesque part of the zone, or it could be around the homestead, because of what the homestead looks like. But other than that, it would be...
Up paradise.
But we did tease this out with our client, you know, to what extent they really did want this, and particularly the use of the helicopters, or whether it wouldn't be practical and you just rely on using it in the rural zone, or whether you wouldn't use it at all. But you may recall... when Mr. Edney was here, he did talk about the ability to be able to move data pretty quickly from this temporary base to the more permanent production facility. So he did say when, you know, his instructions were, well, yeah, we do want as much flexibility as possible with respect to that, and that it is practical from their view to undertake that activity and some filming activity around the lake.
Presumably the helicopter use wouldn't be just for filming, it would be for bringing in personnel or taking out data or...
Yeah.
Yeah, so they might want to land at a more convenient place for people getting on and off the helicopter rather than being down at the lake, for example.
That's right.
Yeah. So you want flexibility throughout the zone as convenient.
Yes.
The other question, Ms. Rob, I had is... your paragraph 21, the rural residential development is contemplated for Arcadia comparable to rural lifestyle development. I was thinking, now, just a minute, rural lifestyle in this plan is density of, on average, 1 hectare.
Mm.
Rural lifestyle's a density of 4,000 metres. Which is it? Like, you see, you flip from one to the other.
Yes, I think I'm really making the point that it's rural in nature rather than urban. And which goes back to my earlier point, we don't think that there necessarily needs to be a distinction between rural, rural residential, rural lifestyle, and then urban. In this setting, where where the zone's surrounded by rural, I think it's sufficient just to have the two-tier threshold, the threshold, the distinction between urban type development and rural, whether it be true rural, rural residential, or rural lifestyle.
My recollection is that the existing subdivision, I remember looking at the areas, and there are a whole swag of those sites that are 4,000 square metres or only marginally more. So it's very much a rural, if, to the extent there's a difference, it's very much rural residential rather than rural lifestyle.
Yes, I agree.
Although the subdivision does provide for some common open space, so overall the density is probably closer to rural lifestyle than it is rural residential.
Good point. So the individual blocks might be rural residential, but
yes.
But considering the subdivision as a whole,
yeah,
that might be, that's a bit different.
Yep.
Good point.
And that's the other point that I was trying to make. We're not talking about a rural residential, a large rural residential zone that may then back onto an urban zone. I think it's important when looking at this relief that this RVZ is in the context of the surrounding rural areas.
So it's 23 lots, it's not 500.
Yes.
But how many more would be allowed under the structure plan?
Like that is the 23.
That was going to be my next question.
It's the 23.
23. That is 23, there's
yes,
12.
So the only current, the current consent's for 11.
Okay, so that, but under the structure plan, that's the limit.
Is the current for 12?
It's 11 lots and one lot for the commercial,
so
makes
the
12.
That's right, that's commercial.
Yeah.
That was what it was, yeah.
Commissioner Hill, any questions?
No, thank you.
Commissioner McLeod?
Is this really just to get Tom Cruise into as close as possible? No questions for me, thanks.
We're ready for Mr. Vivian.
Okay.
I suppose the key question is you happy to take your evidence as read, or you'd like to add anything?
Yes. I haven't prepared a summary, given where they only submitted. So just happy to take questions.
I have two questions only, Mr. Vivian. The 3.12, it's unlikely that filming would be undertaken after 8 p.m. I understand the point, but the nights are long, the days are long, and the nights are short in the middle of summer in this
yes,
part of the world. Would it be appropriate to lock that in? Have a no night filming?
Um,
travelling by helicopter.
Just checking to see if there were any standards in relation to hours of operation, but
I don't think so.
You don't appear to be, I don't think.
Council will use its power to control unreasonable and excessive noise.
Under the rule 35.4.6 for temporary events, informal airports only to be used between the hours of 8 and 8. I don't know if they would film after 8 p.m. or not.
Well, like, effectively you're saying the reason we don't need to be concerned about the night noise limits is because they won't film at night. If there's a possibility that they will film, does that cast?
I think it would be very temporary.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah. Understood. That
it's just for temporary events.
Yeah.
But that's not the same as temporary.
Not
filming.
The same rules, no. I personally wouldn't have any issue with adding those hours in if that was necessary.
And the other question is, in terms of 3.14, sort of relying as a fallback on excessive noise, which can be enforced, is there an issue with that in relation to an inherently temporary activity? Yes, in theory, the council could institute bring an enforcement order application, but the film would be long finished and everybody disappeared before you got anywhere near the court. How real is that as a?
Yeah, that is a good point. I guess I'm, as Mr. Edney said when he gave answered questions, the film industry, it sounds to me, is going through quite a change away from feature films to series, you know, Netflix series, and that is of longer duration than 30 days of filming. So in those instances, resource consent would have to be obtained to film a series. But yeah, you are right. By in my experience of the council's enforcement department, by the time the enforcement action has been taken, because they have a policy, and the first thing in the policy is make them get a retrospective consent. So yeah, by the time you've done that, a temporary activity would have ceased anyway. So that's a good point.
Commissioner Hill.
No, thank you.
Commissioner McLeod.
I object to the fact that the filming is moving from feature films to...
we've heard trade competition. We've heard trade competition objections already today. thank you, Commissioner Dawson.
No, I'm fine, thank you. I think
well, thank you very much for your input. A tricky little question. That we'll give thought to. The council will amalgamate its reply in with its reply on all other matters. And on that happy note, I'll bring the hearing to a close. We are adjourned because we still have the Walter Peak rural visitor submission hanging in the breeze for hearing at a time yet to be advised. But thank you to the frequent attenders who
thank
are left
you.
Standing at the very end.
Lucky laugh.
And thank you to my team.
You're welcome.
Thank you.